This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We recall some American radicalism from 45 years ago this hour and look at a presidential campaign's vulnerability to all kinds of wild cards in the headlines and elsewhere. We start with politics this hour in the simmering summer of 16. I guarantee you will be forgiven if somehow you missed the name of Evan McMullen throwing his name into the presidential race last week, though.
The fact that Donald Trump is down by 10% at this stage and still saying the ridiculous things he does that are so unpresidential at the very least, just shows that this is not a guy who has any chance of beating Hillary. And I think that's something that a lot of people are starting to understand very clearly now. We are overwhelmed by the number of staffers here in Washington and members of Congress who have also reached out.
That's Evan McMullen speaking on MSNBC. Now, if your judgment of a candidate relates to whether they have a chance to beat Hillary Clinton, then McMullen is an odd choice for GOP insiders. He's only on the ballot in Colorado and Minnesota, and Minnesota has some very close congressional races. But in this curious moment of dormancy between the conventions and the launch of the final weeks after Labor Day, it's the aggregate count of alternative candidates, support for people like the Jill Stein Greens and the Gary Johnson Libertarians that just might be disruptive in all kinds of ways. Here to explain why is Sam Wong, founder of the Princeton Election Consortium. He's right here in the studio. He's a neuroscientist at Princeton University.
The big thing that's happening this year in regard to third and fourth and fifth party candidates is that Donald Trump is losing some significant fraction of Republican voters. I estimate that in red states, states that Romney won in 2012, Trump seems to be running as much as about 5 to 15 points below where Mitt Romney ran 4 years ago. And so there are a lot of votes up for grabs, and this puts down ticket races at risk. So these fourth and fifth party candidates perceive an opportunity.
So the opportunity is, this is a proposition that maybe not Gary Johnson's, but certainly Evan McMullen is making to voters. It says, all right, you feel like you don't have a reason to go to the polls. Your Senate candidate, your congressional candidate isn't doing it for you. Look, if you aren't voting for Trump, but still want to feel like you're a part of the GOP, come on down, vote for Evan McMullen, and oh, by the way, be sure to vote for the other Republicans on the ticket, and they can kind of have their cake and eat it too. They don't stay home, and their Republican support goes for the support of Congress.
That's right. So McMullen is a GOP House staffer. He's, up until recently, policy director of the Republican Conference. He's an insider. This is not somebody with the resume of somebody who wanted to be president since he was a boy. He is very much an insider, and right now I would say that the House could go either way in November. The Democrats have some fighting chance of getting it, and these edge cases are close races are ones where somebody like McMullen can help save the down ticket.
And for Hillary, the problem is exactly the opposite. It's basically, if you've got to come out and vote, because if Donald Trump gets elected, the end of the world is upon us. So therefore, please come and vote for Hillary Clinton. And oh, by the way, vote for the rest of the Democrats.
Well, there are people who like Hillary Clinton, but it is also true that the end of the world would be considered a bad thing. But in either case, I think that the idea would be to that in order to get any work done next year, Hillary Clinton would need a majority, ideally in both the Senate and the House. And so right now, let's imagine hypothetically that the presidency is heading towards being settled. The question is, who's going to be in control of Congress? And that is a question that is in the balance right now.
And so let's talk about someone besides Evan McMullen. Does the Libertarian Party have a chance to do what Nader did in 2000 in a much more disruptive way?
The Libertarian Party has never gotten more than 1% of the popular vote in the U.S. in any presidential election. And so I think it would be a hard lift for them to make a big difference. The other thing about the Libertarian Party is that they don't give out the GOP message. And so they're, you know, it could be a breakout moment for them, but they're unlikely to swing any major election in the U.S.
So angry Republicans aren't going to vote for Libertarians. They might, but they aren't going to feel like Republicans doing it.
I think that they might. One hears talk in interviews and just talking to neighbors and so on. I've heard people say, Republican friends say that they just can't vote for Donald Trump, but they certainly are not voting for Hillary Clinton. And a few of them are talking about staying home. And if they stay home, then that's no good for the Republicans.
Gary Johnson makes the argument that if the pollsters put in their top line of their polls, and apparently you have to reach 15% to get into the debates, that if the top line of the polls was, who do you want, Gary Johnson, Hillary Clinton, or Donald Trump, or some version of that without Gary Johnson being first, that they would be at 12% today, and that the debate question then would be, yes, they'd be on the podium with the other two candidates, Gary Johnson would, and that would settle the matter, and then we would be in a more of a nadir zone. What do you say about that?
I think for purposes of getting invited to the debate, one can imagine Johnson hitting 15%. He has not yet. Generally speaking, in terms of the real life election, third party candidates fade in the finish in the U.S. It is highly unusual for anything else to happen. An exception was Ross Perot, but that's because Ross Perot was perceived as being within a realistic striking distance of winning. And so generally speaking, third party candidates fade. The other thing is that the reason that Nader was able to be any kind of spoiler was that the Gore-Bush race was within one percentage point of the popular vote. Mm-hmm. And that's not where things are today. Hillary Clinton is up on Donald Trump by something like 8 or 9 points nationally. And that's just not a range where a third-party candidate is likely to make a difference.
Thinking about Ross Perot, which is an interesting model, I mean, if we think of Donald Trump as Ross Perot, as an outlier who's challenging the system and who is basically a radical vote who, you know what, I'm throwing my dice in the air and, yeah, things are going to be different, but darn it, I can't stand the way it is now. Does he tail off as we get towards November? Or does he increase in support, barring some radical new kind of way of campaigning, which seems much more like Ross Perot now than it does anything else?
That's an interesting point. So far in surveys, Trump has not gotten below 40%. It seems like about 20% of Republicans, one-fifth of Republicans, would like to see someone else, won't vote for him. But he seems to have hit a floor there at 40%. Now, on the other hand, he seems to be doing his best to try to get below that floor. And so if he goes below that floor, I can imagine it. But right now, I think that what we're seeing is a sign of a symptom of the strong polarization in the United States, where people will vote for their party's candidate, even when their party's candidate seems to be saying pretty incendiary things.
Sam Wong is a data analyst and founder of the Princeton Election Consortium. He's also a neuroscientist at Princeton University. Great to have you in here.
Thank you.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.